This beautiful morning. Is it a beautiful morning? Where the Lord is, it's beautiful, it's holy. And if the Lord is in charge of the earth and is over all the earth, he's sovereign. He also brought this snow to us. And I know here in Ohio, we may not, it seems for me, the first snow is kind of a, it just makes it a little harder, you know, until we get used to it. But God is faithful. This is part of his plan. It's part of his faithfulness. And we can trust him. And I would like if we could sing one more song. Oh, Brother Matt, if you could lead 106 yet. Right, just a little bit here on the board. Lord, thou hast searched and seen me through. Thine eye commands with piercing view my rising end, my resting hours, my heart and flesh with all their powers. Can you lead that from back there, Brother Matt? The group's a little smaller here this morning. Let's just lift up our voices and praise the Lord. Go ahead. Who can, let's rise for a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus, your Son, your only begotten Son, the one who was willing to leave the glories of heaven and come to this earth where there's darkness and there's sin, and live here and leave us a perfect example how we ought to live, and that you were willing to die and give your life for my sins, each one of us here this morning, the sins of the whole world. Then you went to the grave and you rose again. We praise you for that, Father. And today you're at the right hand of the throne of God interceding for us. Lord, we pray that you would be merciful to us and come visit us today. Break the bread of life. Make it that it can be nourishment unto our needy souls here this morning. Lord, we commit our lives to you, the keeping of our souls. Bless us and keep us, Father. Most of all, we pray for your divine presence here in our midst, Lord. Bless those who've gone out from amongst us. Be very near to them today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I find it's a blessing being here this morning, hearing the word of the Lord. Appreciated the opening thoughts, the children's lesson on faith and trust, which builds a foundation for each one of our lives. If that's not there, nothing will be in place. And I was just blessed and this morning, as even though our group might be a little smaller, you know, I trust we're here as a family of God. And how does a family function? And I am confident that each one of us as families, we have our trying times, and we have times where things just seem to be flowing real well. But what creates that when there's that tenseness, it's that strain, you know? The family life doesn't flow very well when it's like that. It creates an atmosphere that's not pleasant to be around. How do we get beyond that? And, you know, next thing we know, we can be building walls and getting into our own little box, and our world becomes very small and narrow. And a little like we heard this morning, we have tunnel vision. We don't see beyond our own selfishness and our desires. And, you know, as we're here this morning, we serve a God that sees right down into our hearts, that what I am facing this morning, what you are facing, there is nothing hid from the Lord. We can have that confidence that he knows our needs. And I just had to think this morning, as food that is nourished by our bodies, there's a lot that happens that we cannot see. You know, none of us would be here today if it wouldn't be for some food that we've been nourished from sometime in the last month or months. You can go quite a while without food, but after a certain amount of time, we will die. The life will stop. It will end. And, you know, as I started pondering about this here recently, about our food, you know, we don't do like some things. I think there's a snake I've seen pictures of. They eat the whole rat or the mouse. They just take it down through, and somehow they devour it and I guess get nourishment from that. But we don't think that way. You know, we don't take an apple and decide, well, we'll just eat an apple and the whole thing just goes down, or a steak or a chicken. It needs to be broken down in very small particles, and it goes down inside this body. We can't see where it goes, but we have some good ideas. And it creates nourishment. It's amazing when you stop and think of that. And without it, we would die. And even if someone is fasting or hasn't eaten for quite a while, it doesn't take a whole lot of some good juice or some food. That food goes down in there and it nourishes us and it brings that body some strength that it can go on. And so it is, you know, spiritually, we need the bread of life. We need it broken down in little bits and pieces so that as it goes down in there, that it can bring nourishment. And it can change us. It can bring us to the place of, if a repentance is needed, it brings repentance. And our encouragement needs, it brings encouragement. Whatever our needs are, God is there for us. He's not against us. And you know, as that food is down in there, bringing nourishment, you and I can't see what God is doing with all of that. Our bodies are so amazingly created. If we read Psalms 139, we get gather a little bit there or a lot. But at the same time, we can see what that nourishment does. It brings strength. Instead of fainting and dying, it gives strength. And also, the same way spiritually. As we are breaking that bread of life, the word of life, and it goes down within our needy souls, it brings nourishment to our hearts. We can't see what, I can't see Brother Joe's meditating right now. I can't see that or throughout the, what he's been meditating this last week. But you and I can see what it does to us. If it's bringing spiritual life or if we're being dead by sin and sickness. And I was just blessed this morning, you know, thinking of why do we gather together? Yeah, the crowd seems small I think there is a very good reason that God has designed it to be this way. But if we are in a situation where, you know, we're building walls and, you know, things get kind of tight and tense, you know, it's not a healthy situation to be in. I'd rather not be here. That's a strain. But, you know, what is it going to take for us to be faithful, for us to have a brotherhood that loves each other, that can see beyond my brother's differences or his preferences? We grew up in different homes. We have our differences, whoever we may be, from oldest to youngest. But can I see God working in my brother's heart? And am I willing to be entreated to let my brother speak into my life? That, I believe, is what brings a healthy body. When there's that openness, there's that repentance, there's that love, the love of God working in our hearts. As I was here this morning, I just want to welcome Brother Joe, Sister Charlene, that little baby. First visit here to Faith Christian Fellowship. Praise God. Jonathan, Jonas. That's okay.
Jonas
Ray. Jonas Ray Glick. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. And I think Marianne, our dear sister here, is the oldest, you know, and yet God has a plan for every one of us here. And it's just beautiful. Here recently, holding a little within a day-year-old baby and just looking at that, there are those little toes, those little hands, little limbs. It has eyes, it has ears, and only months of time. How can we say there is no God? But what about what I'm facing today? Do I have faith in my God that he's able to meet my needs just as well as these little babies, that they would die without nourishment in a very short time, being left by themselves, they would die? And do I have that type of a vision, a burden burning in my heart for nourishment, for the word of God, for my God? I think of the verse of Matthew 5 or 6, talking about hungering. You know, am I hungering after righteousness? Do I have my cup turned upward this morning? We need to have that. We have that nourishment of God's word so that our souls can be nourished. And if we don't have our cups turned upward, we still have the privilege of coming before our God and just asking him for grace today to feed us, to feed our needy souls, because we truly need him. Now, I find it a challenge at times when I come, wherever it may be, you know, there are a lot of things going on in life. There's a lot of things that happened last week in our lives, and there's a lot of things that probably happen next week. But can I leave those things at home and just focus on worshiping my God? And we come together. What a privilege. What a blessing. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 7. There's a parable there. I'd like to read what Jesus, not just a parable, is an actual happening there. Luke chapter 7. And see what we can glean from that today. I wrote up here on the board, sin, action, and reaction. I don't know what your thoughts are there on that. I've been deeply challenged with some things in my life. Probably we don't look at reaction as much of a sin as the person that is in sin and in action of sin. That's what I mean by that, is sin, somebody that is sinning. But when I am in a reaction mode, it's like somebody said, it's like looking over there and walking backwards. I cannot see what is behind me. We're not having a vision of going forward. And some of the thoughts I gleaned today are also from the Calvary Road, Roy Hessian. I was deeply challenged with that. And how that we in reaction can be just as much in sin as the one that's sinning or that has wronged us. How do we find that neutral ground with the Lord? That is a real challenge. We have emotions. We have feelings that we have to deal with. And I'm just being real. But how do I handle that? And here is an account that I feel that we can find some similarities in our own lives. Chapter 7 of Luke in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. I think this was Simon. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Why is this? Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. So who would you want to be here in this situation? I think we'd all want to be forgiven. We all deserve that forgiveness. But how easy it is for us sometimes to be in Simon's place. Maybe reacting to something that's happened in our lives. You know, the Pharisee Simon, he had such good intentions and actions in serving Jesus. He made him a supper. He did the things that were supposedly needed. Those outward things, he was very, very diligent in doing those things. And yet in verse 37 there, we see that his agenda was interrupted. He had an agenda, he had a plan, and how he was going to serve Jesus here. And I believe God allowed this a lesson, not only for Simon, but for us today. And how this woman came in, and sensing her need of sin in her life, and repenting, and she found forgiveness. And that's what we need also. We need that forgiveness. And and also this woman, you know, coming from a life of sin, which she knew she had a need. And, you know, many times Jesus talked about that very thing, how that the those that are righteous, they don't need the physician, but those that are sick. And I'm trying to learn, you know, what does that really all mean? Jesus said there in Matthew 5 that except our righteousness exceed that which is of the scribes and the Pharisees, we shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I believe we know what that was a self-righteousness, basically going by the law. I've now done what the Bible says, and this is it, and I've done my part. Versus, Lord, what do you have to teach me? Is there an area in my life that you're trying to get a hold of me, trying to show me, and that am I willing to repent when God really does show that to me? You know, Jesus already knows the needs, the very needs of our heart, and he is so merciful and so gracious. There's times when we go through our lives and we don't see it, and all of a sudden God starts dealing with our hearts and starts shedding light upon our own lives, upon a very need that we have. And what am I going to do with that? You know, is it in husband-wife relationships? Is it in parent-child relationships? Is it in brother-to-brother or sister-to-sister? These things are very real. You know, we face challenges. We face trials sometimes that aren't real easy. But am I easy to be entreated? Or am I more like Simon was here in just looking at the other person's sin and totally missing the need in my own life? I'd like to turn to Matthew 15, a very similar account. I think it's actually a Matthew 18, if I'm not mistaken here. Reason I wrote this down wrong. It's of the publican and the Pharisee. Somebody help me there. Somebody know offhand exactly where that is. Maybe it was, what's that? 18, sorry. What was that verse again, Sylvan? Some reason I am just it's not the account with the publican and Pharisee. I wrote it down wrong. That's where the about the heathen, about neglecting there. some reason I don't know. I'm still not finding it, about the publican and the Pharisee. We have to go back to where I was. Maybe if somebody finds that, you can tell me. There's a couple of different accounts there. 18 is the one where if we go to our brother and has sinned against us. But the public and the Pharisee, how that, the main thought I wanted there, how that he despised others. And do you have that, Brother Joe? I think this, okay. I know it's, I was just reading over, but I did read it. 18:10. Maybe it is in Matthew 18. Okay. That's what happens sometimes. You write your things down wrong. There we go. Thank you very much. Luke 18 in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's a powerful scripture. When you look at the life of the Pharisee, that here again looked like everything was right on the outside. I expect his dress and everything just looked like it should look. And yet there was a deep need within his heart. You know, when we are in, when someone, if they sin against us, we feel wrong. Is it true or is it not true? We're still going to have to deal with the feelings down in our heart. And this is this is a very catchy one here. It says there in verse 9, and it says, which trusted in themselves that were righteous and despised others. How can I practically do that in a victorious way and not sin in my own heart? That's where it really becomes touchy. That we can find that place, that resting place and peace with God in that situation, coming before our God, I believe, in prayer. I don't know how it is for you, but I know for myself, if I have not dealt with things deep down in my heart, and then I'm speaking to someone else, those things are going to come out. And sometimes it's good that they do. And I've had brothers already just share what they've seen coming out of my life. And that's a blessing. It doesn't feel good, but it's a blessing if we allow God through others to show us who we really are. But these two men, as we see the publican and the Pharisee, and how the Pharisee prayed and did all those things, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I believe what that is bringing out is just a humbleness of heart, meekness, contriteness, brokenness, and that I'm open to allow God to show me exactly what he sees there. And going back again to verse 47 there in Luke 7. You know, how much of a debt do you and I owe? Have you ever counted the debt? I don't know how much God has forgiven me. I know it's a lot. But it seems that when we don't see that fresh and clear in our minds, we don't realize is how much we've really been forgiven. And it brings a thankfulness into our hearts when we can just see, you know, outside of the grace and mercy of God, the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, we have no hope within us. There is nothing. There is no hope at all within us. And yet, when we come to God in true repentance, we can experience what this woman experienced, where Jesus told her, I think there was three times he said something about her. It says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Then in verse 48, he said to her, he said, thy sins are forgiven. And then in verse 50, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. And I trust that's what we all want, is that peace and joy which passeth all understanding. And maybe we should look at what is sin. There's two definitions in Greek. Just combine them here as we look at what sin is. It's an offense, missing the mark. And then here's a interesting phrase, that, and so not share in the prize. Well, we could think, well, if I don't get the prize, somebody else can have it. That's in a natural realm, but this prize here is talking about heaven. If we miss this prize, we have missed it all. I trust our hearts so that we want to all share in this prize. It also means to err. So what is sin? How does God view that? And unless we see sin for what it is, it's really difficult to repent. I think that is what's going to bring a revival in our hearts and in our brotherhood. If we see sin for what it really is, how awful and how horrible it is in the sight of God. You know, if I am in unforgiveness, if I'm holding a grudge, if I am, if I have a bad attitude about whoever it may be, that's sin. It's missing the mark. It's wrong. Here in the Calvary Roads, a few quotes, it says about the self-life becomes a hindrance to revival, whether it is selfishness, self-effort, self-indulgence, self-pity, or self-righteousness. And I believe we all know that when we find ourselves in that place, like I said, our world becomes so small. It's just, we're not useful. We're not a vessel that's clean and fit for the Master's use. And our reaction to the one who is wrong in his action is also sin. And I feel that's something that I have much need to learn in. You know, sometimes I believe we can kind of just rest in while we see our brother and how wrong he is, and whoever it may be, or maybe it's our neighbor, or who, and we just, you know, we don't want to go there. And, you know, in our hearts, there's that restlessness. There's that thing that's not settled. And I think that's the thing that we need to be very, very careful of. If we are in a reaction mode, it's not going to stay neutral very long. That thing's going to become sin if we don't deal with it in a very quickly. And God help us to know to rather take time to get in our faces before God rather than let this thing sprout and become something that's so serious, something that is going to ruin my life and the lives of others possibly too. We need humility and brokenness. Hardness says, it's your fault. I find myself there many times, you know, just looking at a situation and, well, I'm not in the wrong, it's the other person. It's your fault. That's what hardness says. That's what the Calvary Road, Roy Hessian brings out. But brokenness says it's mine. You know, maybe it seems like it's, I don't see anything wrong, but maybe it's just a very small part of that. Maybe it's even 5%. Can we own up to the my wrong? Brokenness says it's my fault. The Pharisee did everything right in the outside, but lacked greatly in his heart. And the publican there, he's seen his needy condition before an almighty God. And I'm going to turn back there again to Luke, Luke chapter 18, just for a few more thoughts. And how it's so easy for us to want to justify ourselves, even as the Pharisee did there. And he looked down on the publican. And verse 14 says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And that word justified means to render, show or regard, just or innocent. That's beautiful. That is precious. And that is what we need from the Lord, to render or to show or regard just or innocent. And then we come to that word, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. I think we all know what exalteth means. It means to elevate oneself. Just put myself up a little bit higher than my brother, right? Just can't quite see it the way he sees it. But just elevating ourselves to lift up. And then the word abased means if we do that, we're going to be abased. That means to depress, humiliate in condition or heart. Bring low. That's out of the Greek there in Strong's. And then the opposite is, if we choose to humble ourselves, then we can be exalted by God. And I thought it was interesting that word abased and humble has the same Greek meaning, to depress, humiliate in condition or heart, or to bring low. It's just not thinking of ourselves more highly of what we ought to think, but soberly, as the Bible says. And then God can then lift us up. God can work in our hearts and lives. Psalms 139 is a, I'm just going to turn to that for a few verses. And how that nothing is hid from the Lord. We sang that song there at the, sang that song, "Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart." And Psalms 139 says, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me." Verse 1. "Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." I thought the songwriter put it well, that before these words come forth from our lips, that God knows that thought. Can we run it through God's filter in His word before that word comes out? "But Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset behind me and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto Thee about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and light are both alike to Thee." Can we imagine that? You know, sometimes it's a little scary to go out in the dark, depending on what it is. I must say, even as an adult, I think about those things. You know, you face things, and we know the Lord is there. And I find a great comfort just starting to sing and praise the Lord, knowing that there's nothing hid from the Lord. And here it says the darkness and the light is alike to God. There's no difference. He can see right through that. And He knows our bodies need rest, and so He's created nighttime for that to happen. But they're alike unto the Lord. Verse 13, "For Thou hast possessed my reins and hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, and yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet as there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with Thee." You know, I find the thoughts that I have when I lay down and close my eyes at night. Usually those are the thoughts that are there in the morning. If we have a deep burden on our hearts and we go to bed, and I'm not saying it's a wrong burden. Is it wrong or is it not wrong? Oftentimes that same burden is still there. We get up in the morning. But may it be that of meditating upon the Lord, and that we focus when we close our eyes, that we come before the Lord in prayer or in His Word, meditating upon His Word. There is nothing more precious than that of falling asleep and meditating upon the Lord or in prayer. And I have found many times If I'm struggling to fall asleep, it just seems sleep isn't there. One of the best things that I have found is just quoting the Word of God. There's something about a peace and a joy and a quickening of God into our spirits, into our hearts and lives that comes there. And if you look at what God has for us, he said, if I should count them, how precious, in verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? And can we just take that as the sins that we're tempted with, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Is that our passion, that we hate them as God hates them, our enemies? Truly, they are our enemies. If they're our friends, we don't find deliverance from them. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I'd like to just look at a few other verses in a few other scriptures yet as a brotherhood. 1 John chapter 3, personally and a brotherhood. But 1 John chapter 3, I'd like to turn there, verses 1 to 3. It's going to be a few verses between 1 John and the Gospel of John. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse 3, and everyone that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. In the Epistle of John, many places, it defines what sin is and what sin does. And, you know, if we say we have not sinned, we're a liar. And it talks about a sin, not unto death, and a sin that is unto death. There's a lot of things there. Is very worthwhile studying into that. Now I'd like to turn to John chapter 3 in verses 18 to 21, just as an encouragement to open our hearts to the Lord and to walk in the light as God is in the light. Talks about Nicodemus there and how his questions about being born again. And then we come into verse 18. And says, he that believeth on him that is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Where do you want to stand? Where do I want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Do I want sins that are going on before me, that Jesus Christ will wash them away with his precious blood? Or am I going to rather just hide those sins, and they're going to come following me and condemn me at the judgment seat? We have a great opportunity today to just walk in the light. And that light is to shine or make manifest. And that makes a beautiful brotherhood. We can shine. We can just open our hearts wide to each other. And that darkness says shadiness, that is obscurity. You know, when there's shadiness, there's mistrust, there's confusion, there's gray areas. That's shadiness. When we choose to walk in the light, we enter into fellowship with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 John 1, we read about that. and enters into from our personal lives, enters into a relationship with our brother and brother and sister there. 1 John chapter 1 through 4, I'm sorry, verses 1 through 4, says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John 15 reads some verses very similar to that. How full is full and running over? We weren't here last Sunday. I heard a little lesson on that that you had in children's class. But as we walk in the light and we open our hearts to the Lord Jesus, we surrender everything, not holding anything back. We enter into that relationship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But then we also go into, and then our joy can be full. And that joy means a cheerfulness, a calm, delight, gladness, exceeding joyful. And the word full means complete or perfect in the Lord. Does that say we don't make any mistakes, we never do anything wrong? No, but that we're open to repent when God shows us something. We're open to allow the Lord to sanctify us and to purify us. Then we go into verse 5 to 10. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. It just continues on. John and the epistle of John are so many things that just come together. And it goes on and on. It talks about love. It talks about light. It talks about darkness. It talks about sin. But it talks about fellowship also. In verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Isn't that so true? I have fellowship with God, yet there's some sin in my life, something I'm hiding. We are erring. We are liars. We are not walking in the truth. But then verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, remember that light means to shine or to make manifest. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Do I really believe that? Is that a reality in my heart for us as a brotherhood? If we enter into such a fellowship with God and with His Son Jesus, and then we continue walking in that light and enters into a fellowship one with another. And what a blessing, what a promise with that, that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not just some, it says all. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There it is again. God's desire is that there's everything is forgiven. He has done everything He will ever do. And now it's up to us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. And we could go on and on in those chapters there. I have found such a blessing, such a beautiful promise, and yet you and I have our part to do. Am I doing my part? Am I building the kingdom of God here at Faith Christian Fellowship? Or am I building walls around myself? Where do I find myself? Am I in reaction? Am I finding grace from the Lord no matter what He brings into my life? That nothing, knowing nothing is too hard for Him. Coming before Him in prayer and finding that grace to help in time of need. God bless you, strengthen you, cause your hearts to be nourished in Him by His word, that we can all reach heaven one day. Trust today is just another step. It's just a few more, just a little further down the road than we were yesterday this time, getting closer to eternity. Talk with one of my one of Marianne's aunts this week, and it's just a lesson how short his life can be. If she was saying, if she was in church last Sunday, sitting beside as an 84-year-old widow, and all of a sudden she wasn't feeling so well, so she got up and went to, I think the church was in the shop, went to go in the house, and was starting to feel weak, and they did help her inside, and she kept getting worse and worse, and finally took her to the hospital, and actually flew her then to Hershey Medical Center, which is kind of strange for an 84-year-old, and she got there, just brain dead. They kept her alive until the family got there on a breathing machine, and yet it was quite a shock to her. Here she sat beside this sister there in church Sunday after Sunday, and Mondays usually gathered for I think it's about seven widows gathered together usually on a Monday, and the funeral I think was Wednesday, I believe. How quickly, it's like she made the comment, you know, we go away but we don't know if we're coming back. It's kind of sad this week, doing some of the hauling. I went to pick up some furniture. It was a load of cabinets going down to Florida. And the person I was that's helping me load said, this is for the salesman down there in Florida. But his body's actually in a church house up here, just north of here. He had cancer, and they ordered this kitchen, and he never got to see it in his house. And he passed away. You know, how little do we know, you know, what tomorrow holds, but we serve a risen Lord. We serve Jesus Christ that rose from the grave. He's not in the grave. He's alive forevermore, interceding for you and I. We don't need to know what tomorrow is going to bring, but if we can just know who holds tomorrow and have that faith in the Lord, as we heard this morning, holding that in our lives, God will give us grace to go on, give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God be with you.